Hello, you're listening to The Lit Pickers with me, Dipanjana Pal, and
me, Supriya Nair.
We are today going to discuss something that has us fiercely divided, which is actually not that rare, but anyway. What is your take on prizes, Miss Nair?
I like them when I win them. But people refuse to give me any. And indeed, age 6 was when I peaked.
What rubbish. But I'm speaking specifically, I should clarify, because that was a terrible journalistic question. I'm speaking particularly about literary prizes.
Yeah.
Literary prizes which seem to make headlines every now and then. Everybody knows what the prize money is, because that is, of course, the most important detail. Mm-hmm. There's a certain kind of fetting that comes with the prize, the idea of a prize, and valuing the people who win it. Now, you and I have very different takes on this, because I am actually quite pro prizes in theory, but you're not.
I mean, I'm pro writers getting money because, as you know, they make very little of it.
True.
Yeah. Unless they're writers from like rich families, in which case, you know, kind of people just give them money to continue writing. And this is how the rich stay rich.
But I will say there is that problem of the rich or the ones who are already successful getting fat advances and generally making money of their writing is a different problem, which to some extent, like you're saying, the prize does try to address, which is theoretically.
Right, the prize is supposed to go to, you know, to the work rather than the person, and that the annual cycle is supposed to help it. And I love that. I love the existence of prizes for first-time writers, for poets, for women writers, for writers from marginalized communities, etc. I have several problems with prize culture, but let me try and address this to kickstart it, which is that the prize feels in publishing today like a kind of lottery. Say you're a first-time writer or a woman writer, and you know you've written this book in, you know, your own blood and sweat. You don't really make all that much money for it, unless you're very lucky, and so the prize becomes a sop in some sense, a roulette that you can enter, and that if you are lucky, you will win, which helps boost you. And if you win it, fantastic, of course, but it kind of becomes an excuse then for us not to look at publishing culture at large and to see how unsustainable it is for many, many people who participate in it.
What about from the perspective of you as a reader? How do you see prizes as a reader?
I'm afraid I have a grumpy opinion about that as well. I think prizes take away from the thinness of our literary culture in general. A prize is not a critical judgment, right? I mean, it is, although, of course, prizes and Indian prizes in particular are often adjudicated by very learned, very sophisticated juries, many of which are staffed by very good critics themselves. But without an open...
I have so many objections to that, but okay.
But without enough of an open culture of argument, reviewing, counter-reviewing, talk, prize functions as a kind of silver bullet. And it upsets me that readers are increasingly having to rely on prize lists and prize winners to tell them what's good to read. And I'm not satisfied with that. But you think differently, right?
I do. So, obviously...
First of all, you hate prize juries, clearly.
Having been on a couple myself, but not because of the experience of being on the jury, which I can talk about later if we're in any way interested.
Yeah, let's do it. Of course, we want to know all the gossip.
It was just so not gossipy. It was very boring. Anyway, but as a reader, I've traditionally, my tradition, I've been very fond of prizes and shortlists because for the longest time, they meant discovery for me. Right? Particularly back in the age when Amazon was not on our phones and our computers and getting us foreign edition books.
Right. All to our doorsteps.
To our doorsteps, when we didn't have access to what books are out there in the larger world beyond our little immediate circles, prizes were the way to find out. Mm. Prizes like the Nobel Prize, for example, has had a somewhat of a reputation of finding the most obscure person in world literature and giving them a prize. Mm. This is not actually true, obviously. The names that are nominated and the ones who win, the Nobel Prize for Literature are almost always very well known in their local
regional
settings.
Yeah, and let's not forget that for a long time, even pre-Amazon, pre-smartphone, the prize, I'm agreeing with you on this count here, the prize was a way for the local bookstore to organize its shelves, right?
Yes.
So it could tell you what was good to read by telling you, hey, this was nominated for the Booker Prize or so on and so forth.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So it offered a kind of filter system, I suppose you could say. Hmm. So for me, the prize shortlist, more than the prize itself, it was the shortlist that I was particularly enamored by. And for years, it's been sort of like a practice of mine where I would go through the shortlist, whether it was the Booker Prize shortlist or it was the Pulitzer Fiction and Nonfiction, the Costa First Book Award, Hugo for science fiction. These were some of the ones that I would religiously follow.
At what point did your taste start to diverge from that of those who are compiling these shortlists?
So the thing is that you don't know that your taste is diverging until you've read beyond the shortlist, right? So I think the point at which I realized that my interests might be different from what a jury is picking up was when I started following what the writers, the novelists rather, were picking as their favorites. So you would read an interview, or I would read an interview, and the author would say that I've been really influenced by X person. Mm. And so you then start reading that person whom you've never heard of until then, because almost always writers pick other writers who are not as famous, more often than not. Or they'll pick a book or a
work.
Or
more likely, if you're interviewed, it's because you're in the news for something. And so then you get to talk about a novelist who's not in the news.
You can do that.
Sure.
And most writers do choose to platform someone who hasn't got the kind of prominence that they have at this point. So that was, I think, when I realized that the shortlist and I don't always match. But I've always found it, not always, I've usually found it very rewarding to go through a shortlist.
Hmm.
And
that was, of course, before you had to compile a shortlist yourself.
Well, so the process of putting together a shortlist myself has, not myself, but as part of a jury, has made me realize just how narrow our horizons are. We get books from people who are, you know, recommending certain titles for a shortlist. So usually it's a publisher who will put their titles forward. And this is true of pretty much any prize. There was a hilarious and slightly chilling, to my mind, article about how The Testaments, which was Margaret Atwood's follow-up to The Handmaid's Tale and was the co-winner of Booker Prize in 2019 with Bernardine Evaristo's Girl, Woman, Other, how The Testaments qualified for the Booker shortlist, because it wasn't out when the shortlist was announced. So The Testaments wasn't out, but it made it to the shortlist.
Right.
The reason it made it to the shortlist is because this incredibly precious embargoed manuscript was given to the judges who were not allowed to share it with anybody and all sorts of things. And I was reading it. It was like a small spy thriller set in the world of books, but it was also, it kind of defeated the whole idea of what I had had in my mind of what these prizes and shortlists were supposed to do,
right,
which is pick up the book that is out there and tell you that, you know what, this is good.
Right. As opposed to functioning in the way, you know, a New York Times reviewer might, in being like the first stamp of approval.
Or, exactly.
Of course, in the case of a newspaper, disapproval for a new book.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget that the Margaret Atwood in question is a previous winner of the Booker Prize.
Indeed.
I mean, it's, you know, whatever, it's fine. Every jury has their tastes, and far be it from me to criticize someone for liking a book because they've seen like the TV show based on its prequel or whatever. But so how do things differ in India, Deepanjana, which is where, are you allowed to tell us what prizes you've adjudicated for? Or would you prefer to keep that private?
No. I mean, I was part of the jury for the 2019 Tata Literature Live Fiction Awards.
Yes.
So they have two awards. One is the Book of the Year, which is for generally the Book of the Year, apparently. Like
would
one book of the year.
Right.
The other is the first book of the year.
Right.
Which, like
the Shakti Bhatt Award, a prize list I'm often quite fond of,
Shakti Bhatt, exactly.
It's for debut writers,
exactly.
Right?
Okay. So Shakti Bhatt's prize list is one that I have diligently read in India, and I've discovered a lot of writers from there. And I've always been very grateful for it because, once again, first-time authors almost never get the kind of play that you would hope first-time authors would get. So, yeah, we had these two books.
Right, and let's not forget that I think it's one of the many prizes, actually, in India that focus on the subcontinent at large rather than on India alone. I think you have to be published in India,
You have to be published in India.
Which is a pretty broad... And happy category.
And it's always been a little bit more problematic when you start looking at the criteria that one has to fulfill to become a potential nominee. Because, you know, where were you published? Where are you from? Where is your book set? These are all considerations that come in. Like, for example...
For legal reasons, right?
I'm sure, But Booker opening up to American writers, for example, was a big deal. That was not a legal issue. That was just Booker being, you know, we're going to be British, thank you very much. And then it was like, oh no, those Americans. And now those Americans will win everything. They have their Pulitzer, you know.
Right, which they did, right?
Yes.
Then, anyway, whatever.
But regardless. So there were these two awards that we had to read for. And everyone realizes that there's a lot of reading to do. That's not really the difficult part. I think what's more difficult is actually feeling completely assured that you have read everything that you should have, especially when it comes to the first book awards. But to be fair, even for Book of the Year, not that I have any reservations about what ultimately did get Book of the Year from the jury that I was part of with Jerry Pinto, Arshia Sattar and Peter Griffin and also Shashi Baliga from the festival.
Right. In addition to yourself.
In addition to myself. No reservations about what we ultimately did, you know, choose as so-called winners. But I do think our shortlist was the thing to have celebrated more than just the winner themselves. Because
so what you're not telling us is that there were like fist fights in the room as you'll try to narrow down a single winner from the shortlist.
And then Jerry basically sat on all of us. no, he didn't. I think he wanted to, though, a few times.
I see.
So we did disagree on a lot of things. And ultimately, you kind of agree to disagree and then agree to agree on one thing. So it's hardly as exciting as it could be, I suppose. Because ultimately, you know, you've read 40 books and you just want to be done with this whole process as well.
A lot of juries last year seem to have settled on the debutante novelist Madhuri Vijay's The Far Field as their book of the year.
Indeed.
Which, I mean, it's interesting to see sometimes how prizes can echo each other as well and create an effect perhaps that is the opposite of what a reader might wish for, which is more choice rather than what could be interpreted as a narrowing down.
I'm so glad you said that, because I really think that is the major problem with Indian awards. And that's what I was going to get to, that when you look at the winners for any of the awards that are for Indian authors and South Asian authors, they're almost all to the same person. Madhuri Vijay's The Far Field is a fabulous book. There is no doubt about it. It has literally won
everything. I have some reservations.
So do I. You and I have had this conversation.
Right.
But that's okay. I mean, I can't...
No, whatever. Not taking away anything
from
that.
Not taking away from the book. And also, it's worth keeping in mind that I can't remember the last time I read a book and I was like, oh, it's flawless. You know, like, I don't do that. I think that's just against my genetic makeup. But that doesn't mean that every single first book award should have gone to her. And if it does mean that, if that is the reality, then that's saying a hell of a lot about what is happening in the Indian publishing scene. Why aren't there more competitors?
And let's not forget that Madhuri Vijay's book was not edited in India, even though it did find an Indian publisher after it found a US publisher, which seems to be something that bears reflection on. I suppose it is unfair to expect a jury to say, oh, well, if this writer whose work we really like has already won this other award, then we should pick someone else, which would be like, you know, I remember this time George Clooney was given, I think, Best Director Award. Or I mean, he won either Best Director or he was on stage for Best Film. And then he said, oh, so I'm not getting the other one, which is a very bureaucratic way of doing things. And prize juries have no obligation to function in that manner. But I mean, Indian publishing, for all its faults, is not a narrow field. And it strikes me as strange that there isn't more diversity in the choices that come out of our price culture. So what is it really? Do we need to have different kinds of judges? Do you think we need to have more non-readers and writers on juries? I'm not personally in favor of that because
I'm not in favor of non-readers judging books.
I mean, yeah, and I'm afraid that in suggesting that it should be people who, you know, aren't serious readers and writers, it just means opening up the field to celebrities in their chosen professions, which is great, and you know we should celebrate them duly, but which doesn't necessarily mean that they should be able to tell us what was the best book of the year.
I completely agree with you. Celebrity judges are not the answer. Leaving aside how I feel about our culture of celebrity, the bottom line is that celebrities are busy people. They have other things that they're doing, just as jury members usually are as well.
Sure.
But
are you guys paid for your work?
No. No, but you are given a token.
Right. And I think some prizes do pay their juries. I know the JCB prize does.
Right.
Also a prize that Madhuri Vijay won this year. Congratulations, Madhuri.
She won everything. So the thing is that it's whatever you're being paid, it is likely to be a token amount. If you're not paid a token amount,
you're not
given
a salary.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not a salary. It's not like you can make your living and pay rent on the basis of what the prize body will give you to read books. Mm. So everyone's going to do this in their spare time. But the celebrity's spare time is significantly sparer and they're spread thinner. So I don't want a celebrity judging a book in that sense.
Right. By which you mean like you don't want a movie star.
Yes, I definitely don't want a movie star to decide. Or a business mogul.
To be honest, I don't even want a scientist who's spending like, you know, 16 hours a day in her lab who doesn't really have the time to devote to thinking about a book in the same way that a judge should be. And I realize fully that what I'm saying is perhaps provocative, but I'm going to stick to my guns on this. But here's the thing, right? So where do the judges come from? How does a prize director find an array of judges unless she has access to the diversity of reading and criticism and talk in this country? If you have no culture of reviewing, if you have no culture of responding to books seriously, or if you have, you know, only a thin layer of it, where are the judges going to come from? And so then where are the interesting books going to come from?
It has so much to do with acknowledging that reading is a discipline, that you don't simply say that I like a book and that's enough. It isn't. There's a lot of really good reviewers on Goodreads, but not everything is just a rating, right? The importance of a prize and the contribution of prizes to culture at large lies in the judges being good, in their critical judgment being reliable or at least thought-provoking. I'm not saying that every prize has to have a winner that you agree with. And unfortunately, that is where we've come to today, particularly with prizes in this country. Like we were saying, everyone gets this, like one book gets all the prizes. This is not so much because, again, I'm assuming here, but it's not just because everyone on the jury loved that book, but because that book has got five other prizes and therefore is considered prize worthy and is considered more prize worthy than a book that hasn't got a prize. So it's a herd mentality rather than necessarily saying that this is the best of what was on offer. Also because I don't think we're always seeing what is the best on offer. That said, there is no other way that we have right now of being able to create a kind of filter that will bring certain books to the fore beyond recommendations from someone you trust.
Sure. So in some sense, it's the prize. I see what you're saying. The prize is a deviation from the bestseller list.
Yes.
I can see that that's
And it
key.
Also means that if you have a judging panel that is willing to be a little risky, then you will find things on that shortlist particularly that would never make it to the bestseller list. Mm-hmm. As an example, I would say Will Self's Umbrella, which was shortlisted for the Booker Narcopolis.
And which was also adapted by Rihanna as one of her signature songs.
I can't wait for Rihanna to sing that one sentence that lasts some 300 pages.
She'll do it. She'll do it.
And it
My
will,
idol will do it.
And it might even be, you know, it might even have all of us reading Will Self. Narcopolis was shortlisted. Mm. Milkman, which won.
Anna Burns, right?
Anna Burns. Mm. Not at all a standard novel. Mm. the way it approaches what it considers abuse and how it approaches the problem of harassment, fear, the terrorism that it's inflicted upon people who are not seeing themselves as victims immediately. These were all very interesting ideas. It wasn't necessarily the best book of the year. Probably not. Somebody else will say that where was Lost Children Archive, for example, this year, last year, in 2019, where was Lost Children Archive? Why was it not in a shortlist? Mm. It's a phenomenal book. So you can have disagreements about quality, but when you have a judging panel that holds up certain ideas and asks you to think about certain things that a writer is trying to do in the book, that contributes. That contributes to the imagination of the reader. It contributes to the culture in which the prize is operating. And increasingly, these are global cultures, right? Like even if legalities and these criteria mean that this is only for Britain, only for the so-called Commonwealth, only for America, whatever. The reading culture is far more global and far more sharing than it was possible to be about 10 years ago.
Right. It is about global culture. Global culture is market culture. So it is about corporate culture, which I don't mean as a criticism, as a beneficiary of the market economy, and which is certainly not an original thing to say, since John Berger himself in 1975, upon winning the Booker Prize, pointed out that it was money that he could only take by sharing it with the Black Panthers, which he proceeded to do. But all prizes, of course, are about a form of patronage. Most prizes in India, or most marquee prizes in India, have some kind of corporate sponsorship behind them. Other very influential prizes come with the patronage of the state, something that's come into the spotlight more and more as we see individuals and dissenters stand up and re-examine their relationship with the state, right? I think the Sahitya Academy Award is a very interesting one in this respect, not just because in 2015 it kind of came under the spotlight because there were many writers who returned these awards to the state in protest of the government's policies. But also when you realize the tremendous reach it's supposed to give you and the worlds that it opens up to you, every Sahitya Academy winner is supposed to have their book translated into every other Indian language. And frankly, I can't think of a more wonderful prize for a writer. Sure, $100,000 is great and you should never say no to that if someone offers it to you legitimately. But what a wonderful idea for a prize in some ways, right?
That absolutely.
Where the state says, we loved your book, and now we are going to be the medium through which it reaches corners of the country that you may never have
that
imagined
you
never in your
have
audience.
Thought would be able to read you. That is an incredible gift.
Yeah, and I feel bad that more prizes don't have the wherewithal or the capacity to execute that kind of brilliant, almost nonsensical ambition, which is to say, not only are we going to take your novel, which was written in one language with one set of imagined audiences in mind, and open it up to a world that that deserves to read it.
It also makes the novelist or the writer think differently when they realize that this is a possibility. It's not a prize, even though it feels like a prize. The Story Weaver program, which is free access books, essentially. One of the gifts of writing for the Story Weaver program is that because of Creative Commons, literally anybody who's part of Creative Commons can translate your story. So you'll get an email one day saying that your book has been translated into Romanian, in Bahasa, in something else. It's an incredibly fulfilling feeling.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with money at all. But it also,
it has to do with somebody's spending something
Somebody's putting
happen.
In an effort to do this, yes. But it's also, I've spoken to other writers about this, but, you know, they think about a wider audience immediately. Like, you know, they want to write in a way that will feel real. And more often than not, it's like, you know, the more local you get, the more universal it feels.
In the end, finding the audience is the important thing, right? Because you have no idea how your book is going to be remembered. You have no idea whose life it's going to change. You have no idea to whom the book will mean more than any other piece of literature in the world. And one of the things the prize is supposed to do is to open up possibility that your book will reach more people like that. Are there new, interesting, fun, creative, decent, you know, ways of doing that beyond enriching an author with the kind of lump sum payment one time, making them feel like they won a lottery? I don't know. I'm not going to gainsay the power of lotteries, but our conversation hasn't really changed my mind on how suspect I think prize culture is.
I'm completely with you about how suspect it is. It's just that I also maintain that I don't know of any other way to discover new writing.
Mm.
And for me, that as a reader, that trumps pretty much everything.
There's no getting around that.
And on that happy note, and where we have agreed to disagree, nothing has changed in the last 30 minutes. But do look up writers who are not prize winners. Talk about the books that you like. Get someone you know to read something that they haven't read before.
Go to a bookstore and look up an author you haven't heard of before, please, if you don't already do this.
Yes. Pick up people who you've never heard of. Read about subjects that you know nothing about, because there's truly nothing more wonderful. And that's really the most beautiful thing about books.
And that's why you're listening to The Lit Pickers.
Wow. Okay. And we will be back next week talking about more things sounding slightly smarter. Bye.
This is a Made in India production. The editorial producers are Mae Thomas and Sean Phantom. Shania Subramanian is our producer, and the assistant producer is Janam Devan. These episodes are edited by Vijay Doifure and recorded by Adriel George, as well as the Island City Studio. Our theme music is Here's to You by the Easy Wanderlings.